Today, will a German court ruling be a kiss of death for diesel? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. In Germany, a court will rule if a ban on polluting cars is a legitimate means of cleaning air quality. Cities from Mexico to Paris to Delhi have all debated bans on cars. Arndt Ellinghorst is head of automotive research at Evercore ISI.
I find it very hard to assume that the federal court will overrule the lower courts, because effectively it would put mobility above health. Pretty much every larger city is in breach of their environmental limits, either for the year or on certain days with very high pollution. I expect the lower court's rulings to be confirmed today, and that will trigger significant action by Berlin to fix polluting cars.
And what kind of action are we talking about?
I would expect both hardware fixes for newer generations of diesels to be offered by carmakers and the government. And I also expect scrapping discounts for really old diesels to get them off the road.
So it's going to cost both the government and individual car owners quite a bit of money.
No, I would expect that car owners don't have to chip in here, because they bought the cars with good intent, and the cars are not in breach of any environmental laws, really. So I would expect really car makers and the government to carry the burden of retrofitting cars and scrapping older diesels.
But if you scrap your old diesel car, you still need to buy a new one. The government isn't going to pay for that, presumably.
The government and car makers will put very strong incentives in place so that consumers that are opting to get their cars scrapped, because you can't mandate that, get a really good deal for a new car.
Do you expect, if all of this does happen, for it to have a wider impact beyond Germany?
That's really interesting. I mean, Germany is obviously toughest on this. We don't see similar public pressure in any other European country, but I would expect environmentalist groups, consumer groups, to also challenge the emission levels in other cities in Europe. And I do think that Germany has set a precedent here.
Arndt Ellinghorst. Now, diesel aside, traffic is a global problem. In the Senegalese capital, Dakar, residents spend 3 hours each day on average getting to and from the city centre. The BBC's Joshua Thorpe rode Pillion with one man, providing crucial traffic updates live from his motorbike.
My name is Abajata. Our traffic man.
Abadiata is one of two traffic reporters working for Zik FM, the most listened to radio station in Dakar. Every morning, he updates commuters on the traffic conditions in the city, live on air from his motorbike.
In the US, they use helicopters to update on traffic conditions, but here we use motorbikes. I think motorbikes are a lot better because we are actually in the traffic jams. We are in the heart of it and it sounds more alive on air.
Before long, it's time for Abba's next traffic update, live on Zik FM. He takes out one of his two mobile phones, puts it on hands-free and dials up the studio. Abba speaks very fast in a mixture of French and Wolof. His traffic update lasts about a minute before he hands back to the studio.
So now we're off to the next spot. The exhaust fumes are quite overpowering.
This time we stop on the side of the main road, overlooking a busy roundabout below. It's a perfect vantage point for Abba's next live update. But he has to fend off a few fans first. So many people listen to Abba on the radio that now even the police call him for help.
I work very closely with the police. When there is an accident or a roadblock, they will call me.
It's now time for Abba's next traffic update, but he's got a surprise in store. He hands over his phone to me, and before I know it, I'm live on air.
Oui, bonjour. Ça va?
And the Zik FM presenter asks me to give them a traffic update.
Voilà, ça circule bien sur...
I'm doing terribly updating listeners on the traffic conditions, so I decide this is best left to the professionals and hand the phone back to Abba. In Senegal, I'm the BBC's Joshua Thorpe for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mostly lower amid renewed inflation jitters after yesterday's Fed minutes showed a rosy outlook for the world's biggest economy. In Britain, though, fresh figures showed higher inflation last year put pressure on the economy. Economic growth for 2017 was the weakest in 5 years. Now, Venezuela says it sold more than $700 million worth of a new virtual currency launch Tuesday. The Petro uses blockchain technology and is backed by the nation's oil reserves. But that's a catch-22 because the whole point of a cryptocurrency is that it's not controlled by a central authority. Nevertheless, Venezuela is trying to boost the Petro's uptake. The BBC's Daniel Gallas reports.
Venezuela says it will accept the virtual currency in a range of transactions of services and goods, from aviation fuel to fees charged in embassies. The country's president, Nicolás Maduro, says universities will receive money to install digital mining facilities for its students. Also, savings banks will be encouraged to mine the cryptocurrency and offer it as an option to their clients. The government will even issue a manual for the tourism industry on how to do business in Petro. Venezuela is facing a severe economic crisis with chronic shortages, massive poverty, and hyperinflation. On top of that, there are tough economic sanctions by the US government, which calls Maduro an undemocratic leader. The new cryptocurrency is an attempt to bypass those sanctions, which also affect banks that do business with Venezuela. In São Paulo, I'm the BBC's Daniel Gallas for Marketplace.
Finally, how do you blow the whistle on sexual harassment if your company is run by a family, as so many are in South Korea? Well, the Korean social media app Blind has added a secure messaging board dedicated to the growing number of Me Too stories in South Korea. The new feature allows people to share information securely outside work and has seen its message board swell by nearly 2,000 posts. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.